Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and with me today is the program director and founder of the Philip K. Dick Science Fiction Film Festival, which is coming up March 7th and 9th in New York City, and they've expanded to Los Angeles and Santa Ana as well. So we're going to talk about those. Welcome, Daniel.
Well, thanks for having me back, Summer.
So talk about the expansion, because from what I understand, the one day in Los Angeles is actually in honor of Blade Runner.
That's correct. This is a very interesting year for us because it represents the seventh year of the festival. We started it back in December of 2012. And it's also the year where Blade Runner takes place, the movie. You know, it's Los Angeles 2019. So a few years back, I was just mulling the idea of having a festival in basically where Philip K. Dick lived, the town where he lived for the last 7 years of his life. That's Santa Ana. You know, we've been debating when to do it. So last year I decided that it was a good time to do it. And I had approached a friend of mine who runs an arts organization in California and who screened Radio Free Albemuth back in 2013, a film based on the book by Philip K. Dick. Mm-hmm. So he happens to live in Santa Ana. So I just out of the blue, I just reached out to him and said, hey, you know, I'm just throwing around the idea of doing a festival in California this year. What do you think? And he thought, yeah, this is a great idea. Why not? So what turned out to be just a brainstorm became a reality after a few months. Through his efforts, we were given a small grant by the Santa Ana Arts Council. And we've expanded to California. So originally this year we were just going to do California, but it occurred to me that I would be letting some of my New York fans down. After all, they rely on having us every year. So we, last minute, we decided to add a short but still very good film program to the New York City calendar. And hence, we have a bi-coastal festival.
Nice. So the films that are screening in New York, are they different from the ones screening in Los Angeles and Santa Ana?
Yes. I think there's only one film that's actually screening in both coasts, but they're different. And so we have some very interesting films in New York that are not screening in California and vice versa. This year we selected over 100 films, shorts and features, from all over the world, U.S., Canada, Australia, Russia, India, China, Japan, Korea. So we are many countries in South America. So we pretty much are global now. At least there's always some country that will send us a film or two. So we're very happy about the not only the multicultural, but also the multi-gender. I mean, close to 50% of the films are directed by female filmmakers, which I'm very happy to, and they're both great films. So we really we're reaching out to various audiences across the board, cross-section of multiple groups and multiple nationalities. So I'm very happy that this film is taking on, or the festival is taking on a more universal appeal.
If you are screening 100 films, how many were actually submitted?
Well, I didn't count exactly the number, but there was definitely more than 1,000. You know, we have films that are submitted through various platforms. In addition, we also have films that are submitted through references, referrals, and so on. But yeah, I think we definitely topped 1,000 films.
Are you seeing?
And it was no easy matter,
yeah.
No easy task. Fortunately, we got a group of very dedicated and committed programmers that were able to see all the films and provide us with feedback. And then all the ones that are screening, I actually personally saw. So I at least saw part of it. So what I usually do is we'll have a group of programmers, and then there may be two or three that agree or disagree on one film. Now, usually I'm the one who throws a tie-breaking vote.
Are you
whether to accept it or not, mm-hmm. you know?
Are you seeing any sort of, I guess, a diverse interpretation of Philip K. Dick's works in these films? Are you seeing more inspired by types of presentations?
Well, because the real estate, the Philip K. Dick estate owns most, if not all, the works that he has done. It leaves very few to be direct adaptations. But there is one called Beyond the Door, which is based on an early Philip K. Dick short story, I think in the early 50s, that is in public domain, and that will be shown in Santa Ana, Beyond the Door. Other than that, where there are commonalities are more in the thematic and the plot lines. As you, many of your fans, readers of Philip K. Dick might know, is that he was concerned with the nature of reality. What does it mean to be human? Parallel universes. And also many of his of the characters in our films are essentially anti-heroes or aheroes. They don't have superhuman qualities. They're drifters or outsiders or people who feel, you know, who haven't quite succeeded by that system's values, and things start happening to them that are challenging to their world conception. So in that regard, yes, there are similarities. A lot of Philip K. Dick's characters are outsiders, in one form or another. And we feel the world has passed them by. We feel they haven't gotten their credit, their due, and so forth. So generally how they respond when an adverse situation comes in, that's what makes the story interesting. Whether it be they find themselves in a parallel reality, they find themselves in a parallel world, things are turned upside down, they're missing, and how they respond. So that's the theme that we're looking for. A lot of the themes, a lot of the shorts are introspective in nature. There are some very heavy sci-fi action-based, but the vast majority are have an introspective thread to it.
Now, are there separate themes for each location, or was this just wide open across the board?
The way we usually break the films is into four basic themes, which is the best of PKD shorts, best of international sci-fi shorts. We'll have feature presentation, and we'll have documentaries. And, of course, we'll have supernatural and horror sci-fi. And the reason we don't go with themes specifically is that we found that after one or two shorts, people get tired of that theme. So let's say the theme is very specific, and robots taking over the world. Or, well, you watch one or two, they say, give me something different. Or let's say parallel universes, or say man versus machine. So what we've done instead is create something that is general enough to intrigue people. So we'll have best of PKD shorts, which are the shorts that best reflect the spirit of either in writing, in premise, in plot line, or in character of Philip K. Dick. And then we'll have feature presentation, whether it be an anime or whether it be a sci-fi film. For instance, the world premiere in Santa Ana on Friday, March 15th, is called Volition. And it's a story about a young man who has some special ability, which is he can see a few minutes into the future. And that ability is a curse and a charm. I mean, while at times gives him some possibilities, he cannot touch people because if he touches them, he might get a glimpse of what's going to happen to them. Most of the time is very negative. So what he's found out is that one day, by accident, he finds out that he's getting a glimpse of his own murder. So he's trying to stop that from happening. So it's volition. That's the theme. On New York. Now, this is going to interest some readers. I bet you know what who coined the original term Blade Runner? That's a good trivia question for a PKD crowder. Yeah, because I didn't know that until recently. Well, Blade Runner is not a Ridley Scott term. That actually is from a short story by William Burroughs. And it so happens we have a feature starring Bill Paxton in his first screen debut when he was 19 years old. It's called Taking Tiger Mountain Revisited. And it basically is about a young man who has been brainwashed, turned into a Manchurian candidate, and he's been sent on a mission to assassinate the Welsh minister of the interior. The film is very experimental, but it's loosely based on Blade Runner, written by William Burroughs. And this feature has not been in circulation for the last 30 years. It was briefly released back in the early 80s to a small run, critically praised. However, it didn't have the kind of mass appeal. And then it was back in about 5 or 6 years ago, the rights were sold to another company, and then the director went ahead and bought the rights from them. And remaster it, re-edit it. And so the film that you're going to be seeing is really a new film for the first. And so this is the U.S. premiere. It had its world premiere in England, the U.S. premiere. And the backstory is also very interesting because originally Bill Paxton and the director both wanted to shoot it in Morocco. And they pulled together all the funds, but it turned out that they, on their way to Morocco, they were not allowed to shoot film because they apparently were not hiring enough locals. So they ended up shooting it in Wales, of all places, because Bill Paxton had a friend there, and he said, well, I mean, I think we can work something out. So this is really an indie film in spirit. It was put together by both of them. So I'm very happy to show it in New York City. Saturday, March 9th.
Wow, that sounds like a real archival find. Is the director going to be in New York to talk about it?
Yes, he is. He actually will be flying from Texas, so he'll be there for a Q&A after the movie. And we're also going to have a surprise short, which was put together by the director and James Cameron a few years back, dealing with this movie. So that will be shown right before the feature.
Cool. That sounds like for cinephiles, for people who are really into cinematic history, that should be very, very of great interest to them.
Oh, absolutely. And it is for those who are interested. Yeah, exactly. And they also want to see Bill Paxton in his first film role in sci-fi. A lot of people think of him as early as maybe was Aliens. But way before Aliens, you had this film, you know, and it was he actually co-produced the film.
Cool.
So very happy to show that here in New York City.
Excellent. So since you get to watch most of the finalists to pair them down for presentation in the festival,
right,
have you seen any innovative uses of the new technologies that are out? Because there's one movie that's out that's getting a lot of buzz because it was shot entirely on an iPhone 7. So You must be seeing people experimenting with new technologies, new special effects, and that sort of thing. What have you seen that caught your eye?
Well, we saw this film that really impressed me. It was an Italian film. It's called Miss on a Beam. I have no idea how to pronounce it, but it's MISCENABYME, Miss on a Beam. And it's a story of a butterfly collector who one day finds himself being collected by something much larger than himself. And the yes, and the final shot of the film was mind-blowing. I really was it was straight out of The Matrix. I mean, except it didn't look like a Matrix film, but it was the kind of effects that were, I don't want to reveal anything, but the kind of effects that were put into this film is very, very impressive. So I think that's one film that truly stands out. I did come across a couple of features that were shot on an iPhone 7, but we might have those on a future event, but didn't feel that the feature fit the sci-fi or mode that we're looking for. But that's a one film. Let me see if there's other that are experimental. Well, there is one called Assimilation that's also going to be shown in New York City. And the director will be also, he's flying from Ireland. And it basically is told in a, without dialogue. That is, you got sound, you got people, but there's no dialogue. And it's the story of a person who wakes up and finds out that the whole Earth is being basically wiped out by some ecological, as of known, catastrophe. And the film has these visual references to this kind of entity that causes it, but you never know you don't know until the very end. It doesn't make it very specific as to what causes it. It leaves it up to the viewer's interpretation. So he uses sight and sound to weave this kind of experimental sci-fi film. It's kind of, for those who might be familiar with a film that came out back in the early 80s called This Planet Earth, which was an Australian feature. Very similar but different. This actually had features about survivors who find themselves that the world has been wiped out while they were asleep. And when they wake up, they find out that the whole planet just doesn't exist. Humanity is being basically erased from the surface of the Earth. So there's strong references in this film, Assimilation, to ecology, the destruction of the ecological environment, and so on thing. One scene that it came across this year is that our sci-fi has become much more political, or much more political and at least more socially active. So there are films dealing with the destruction of the ecosystem. We got films dealing with transhumanism, films dealing with the obsession with iPhones and how it's turning people into near androids, films dealing with the rise of AI and how we can program ethics into an AI system. Is that even doable, and so forth. So as opposed to a lot of the sci-fi from maybe 50 years ago that dealt in the long-term future, 100 years into the future, talk about films that dealing with themes that are happening right now or just around the corner. That might happen 5 or 10 years from now, which is this. So the instrument of a sci-fi short is almost like a predictive, serves as a predictive barometer of what is happening, to the point that a lot of some major companies like Adidas are actually hiring consultants, sci-fi writers, to extrapolate based upon the current sci-fi developments what the world is going to look like 5 years from now, so they can then market accordingly.
The world
according to sci-fi. You know.
Yeah, the future is getting closer, and the ads have to match.
Yeah, well, I've been saying, and I think since the beginning, that we already live in a PKD universe. I mean, more and more, I think people are waking up to that reality. I think PKD, is probably more relevant than other sci-fi writers because he had a knack for seeing what's happening, how would technology impact us in a positive and negative way. And I think we've seen the effects of that, of how technology, and whether it be profiling or precogs, like in Minority Report, we actually have police departments that are profiling before the, you know, it basically specializing in pre-crime, or to parallel universes. So The Matrix, you have someone like Neil deGrasse Tyson saying, hey, there's a good chance we live in a simulation back in 1977, before a group of shocked, dismayed newspapers in France, Philip K. Dick went ahead and said, we live in a computer-generated reality.
Yeah.
So I think that that's why I think it's so popular today. I think clearly Blade Runner was hugely instrumental in popularizing his stories. But there's a reason why other writers do go to him rather than someone like Heinlein or maybe Bradbury or Asimov and so forth. I mean, they're not just because it's PKD.
Now, for the awards that you typically give out, is that going to be just for this film screened in New York, or will that be across all three locations this year?
The awards will take place on March 17th. That will cover both the New York and the L.A. Rather, so this is one event, but the awards are taking place in L.A. March 17th.
Gotcha. So is the expansion going to continue next year? Will you have a bi-coastal event next year?
Oh, I don't know. We'll see how this year goes. It's very challenging. You're dealing with different mindsets and every year we try to do something different. Last year, for instance, I think we did this interview last year. We did it at the Cinema Village West, and we had many, many actors, many celebrities come in. And this year, we had many red carpet treatments here in New York City. This year, we're doing it in Santa Ana, where Philip K. Dick lived and wrote some major novels for the last 7 years of his life. In fact, at the Ebo Club, which is it's a well-known club in Santa Ana, you're only a stone throws away from where he actually lived. So we're going to have some tours, or walk tours during the day. We also might be showing, we'll have some parties, maybe have a cosplay. For New York, we're opening at, it's going to be two blocks at the Museum of the Moving Image on Thursday, March 7th. And then we'll follow up with the Producers Club on Saturday. And one thing I want to mention is this year, probably we have more filmmakers attending our festival than any other year, which is really shocking. I mean, we have filmmakers mainly because we're doing it in both coasts, but collectively, I would say close to 50% of the filmmakers who were selected will be attending, which is absolutely shocking.
Nice.
I mean, usually people don't want to just see a film. They want to have someone, either a producer or a director, follow up with a Q&A and so forth. So very, very happy.
Nice. Now, are you still having the European PKD Film Festival later this year?
Right now, as a matter of fact, we're planning on doing something in October. And we might add a short stint in England, in London, for a day. Try that out. Every year we try to do something a little bit different. So it's not, we get to feel something, it's a new, fresh outlook. So the PKD in Europe is happening, and we can look for it towards the end of October. Last year we did it in Lille and in Cologne, Germany. So this year we might start in London and then move to Lille and then Cologne. It all depends how we can fit those days together. Cool. That flows nicely. But the main one is always happening, and it's always here in the U.S. and both in New York and in California. So I'm very excited about that. I think that we did the L.A. one is at Echo Park Film Center. That's in right in the center of L.A. And then that's March 14th, and March 15th through 17th will take place in Santa Ana. Currently, we're in the process of adding some panels. One of those might be Philip K. Dick's multicultural influence, because although many people know it has impacted the mainstream, I think it also has impacted certain groups more that are usually not represented. So we'll be having that. We are definitely going to be adding some parties as well, both on Friday and Saturday. So we're hoping to make it a nice, busy, weekend for those who attend.
Cool. Now, is the website the best place for people to check the schedules and get tickets?
Yes, the website is absolutely the best place. It's the Philip K. Dick Film Festival.com. For those who are just want to stick with Facebook, which we are setting up events, day events for the festival. So they can also go there, Philip K. Dick Film Festival, facebook.com/Philip K. Dick Film Festival. But I would really recommend you just go directly to the website, because that will also have not only the screenings, the panels, the virtual reality exhibits, the tours, and so on. So, and as we get closer and closer, we'll be adding events both in New York and California. Some of them are through the arts organization that is we're co-partnering in the West Coast, and some of it's here in New York City. So I would definitely recommend your viewers and listeners to go to the site, the Philip K. Dick, the T-H-E, Philip K. Dick Film Festival.com for regular updates, because we might have a film, and then tomorrow we might have a film and a panel, and then the following day we might have a film, a panel, and a virtual reality exhibit, and so forth. So,
awesome. Well, we will have links to everything where people can check out, no matter if they're in New York or California. Daniel, thank you so much for your time today.
Well, thank you, Summer. I mean, hopefully one day you'll be able to attend. But in the meantime, I really appreciate what you're doing for us, and sharing this information with your listeners, and making the world a little bit more interesting as a result.
Well, everybody here knows how much of a fan I am of Philip K. Dick, so this festival is just a delight to spread the word about.
And if your listeners have any feedback, that is, things they would like to see in the future that we haven't shown, films or panels or whatever, please, you can send them out to us. And we try always work with the listeners, incorporating feedback, because often there may be certain things we've missed out, we completely overlooked, and people really want to hear about it. So, that's something that I always have an open invitation to anyone who wants to send us some feedback about what they would like to see in future events.
Cool. We will send folks with questions your way. How about that?
Great. Highly appreciate it. And again, thank you for your time and for sharing this with us and the listeners.
And we will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Hey, you. Stop hiding behind that sofa. Come out from back there. Your sofa wants to talk to you. Wants to play footsie with your mind. Listen to it. Relax. Let it in. Starship Sofa. The first podcast ever to win a Hugo Award. With weekly stories from the world's best authors. Michael Moorcock. Peter Watts. Joe Haldeman, Peter F. Hamilton, and many, many, many more. With news and reviews and interviews. Bradbury, Pole, Wolf, and Mieville, the sofas chewed the fat with them all. Facts and fictions, articles and particles. Oh, why aren't you listening? StarshipSofa.com. Your best science fictional fix this side of the coffee table.
Hey guys, this is Arjun Gupta from Sci-Fi's The Magician. You are listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
And once again, for those of you who can make it to New York City on March 7th, March 9th, or to Los Angeles on March 14th, or Santa Ana, California, March 15th, 16th, and 17th, the Philip K. Dick Science Fiction Film Festival is waiting for you to stop by and attend. And yeah, one of these days I'll get up to New York and check it out. But they've had some really, really good films over the years. I think I actually interviewed some of the filmmakers from features a few years back, and I hope to get to do so again. Maybe some of the short film people, because the short films coming out recently, both science fiction and horror, have been wonderfully creative. So maybe I'll do an episode showcasing a few shorts. Who knows? But if you have any questions or comments, the number to call is 602-635-6976. Leave a message, ask a question, or send me an email doing either or both of those to summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play and TuneIn, and Player FM. You can leave us a review on iTunes or on Stitcher, please. All reviews help. It shows that the audience, you, the listeners, who are enjoying these shows, are inviting other people to also listen. You can follow us on Twitter, Slice of Sci-Fi, at Slice of Sci-Fi. Yes, I do answer questions when they are posed to me on Twitter. I even engage in some banter of the fun, geeky kind. You can follow us on YouTube, or Slice of Sci-Fi there. We're on Facebook, Slice of Sci-Fi also. And of course, the website, sliceofscifi.com, where you can leave a comment on something you've heard in one of these episodes. Leave it in the comment section for the show, or weigh in with your own perspective or opinion on a movie or TV show review we have done. I really want to get more people from Project Blue Book on because, oh my goodness. Yes. 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 I love that show. I'm glad we have a second season coming along, but oh my God, that show. Anyway, where was I? Oh yeah, weigh in with your own reviews and get the discussion going. Thank you all for your pledges, your donations. Every little bit helps keep things going around here. If you would like to add your support, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi, or you can make a one-time donation via PayPal if a monthly pledge is not in your budget at the moment. That PayPal link is paypal.me/sci-fi summer, or you can just follow the link in the show notes. I'd like to send a shout out to my favorite geek rock band, Sci-Fried, for providing the theme music here. As always, I love those guys, and if you enjoy the music they have provided here, go to their websites, sci-fried.com, to check out some other music they have done. Themes, original songs, parody songs that are just awesome. If you're a Star Trek fan, I recommend finding their video for A Tall Ship over on YouTube. It is a tribute for the 50th anniversary of Star Trek. They did a couple years ago. Check it out. You will not be disappointed. You might even shed a tear or two. But that will do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. And we will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.